Hey guys, welcome to Not Gonna Lie Podcast by the Tea Break Room. This is my guest for today, Ms. Hannah Christina, my colleague, my partner in crime in our school, which we will name it later. But I just want to let you guys know that Not Gonna Lie Podcast is a podcast where we talk about the things pertaining to life as we grow into adulthood, as we mature, we walk in life. Because not gonna lie, I thought being an adult would look very differently than the way it is that I'm living right now. So yeah, there we have it. And for the first segment, for this first part of the whole Not Gonna Lie Podcast, we're going to be talking about education, something that both Chris, Hannah and myself, we are, you know, fully invested in.
Loaded topic.
It's a loaded topic. It's a very hot topic for both of us as well, because we are both teachers at the same school, which we might or might not name it later. That's okay. And two, pandemic has revealed so many things regarding education, both from teaching standpoint and management standpoint, and how to run the entire thing as a whole, operation of it. So definitely it's going to be a fun conversation. I'm going to start with just introducing myself. My name is William T. And I am a teacher in Raffles Christian School. I teach English and Global Perspectives using the Cambridge syllabus and curriculums. I've been teaching there for about 5 years now, total six, with another year in a different organization. And for me, when it comes to education, it's something that I fell in love with. It's not something that I was in love to begin with. I was one of those students who made teachers cry, who skipped out a lot of classes, who made excuses when I can. So in terms of being the model student, I am not. And so coming into this sort of like education segment of the world is, again, it's unscripted, it's not planned. But as I get to do it more and more, I do believe that this is something that I'm passionate about. This is something that I fell in love with, and something that I am looking to do for more years to come. So that's basically me, from a person who hated studying to someone who is passionate about teaching. Go figure, right? Hannah, what about you?
Okay, wow. Where do I begin? I'm a teacher as well, in the same school as Will's, Raffles Christian School. I was also a student in Raffles Christian School, so I have come full circle. I'm now teaching physics, but I also teach math. And yeah, so I've been teaching for, this is my, how many years is this? Fifth year, full-time as a teacher. I did an internship 6 months prior to that full-time as well. So yeah, similar to William, I fell in love with the job, with the profession. Never planned to be a teacher, but during my internship period, during my university days, I somehow ended up with teaching as a job and fell in love with it. Don't want to do anything else. Decided to pursue it full time. But unlike William, I used to love school. I love school. Secondary school, to be precise. One of my greatest days, if I could say. Fun days. Not great, but fun. One of the most fun periods of my life. And definitely enjoyed studying. Still enjoy studying until now, which is why I enjoy teaching as well. Because a lot of it had to involve studying before you start teaching. So enjoy that part of teaching a lot. And yeah, so extremely passionate about education, just like William, definitely seeing myself in this profession until I die, or maybe not as a teacher forever, but definitely will be in the industry for a long time.
That's
we'll awesome. See what's in store in the future, but the plan is to stay in it the end of time.
Hannah for Ministry of Education 2020 something.
No, it's all right, man.
All right, but that's the thing though, that's a funny thing though, because like we both came from a very different angle, right? So I did not enjoy studying per se. I enjoyed a school life. I enjoyed a school community. I think like I had two very different phases during my secondary one till secondary three. That's like grade 7, 8, 9, and my grade 10, 11, 12, my junior and then my senior years. Those are very two distinct, different and contrasting years for me, because like during my grade 7 until 9, I barely studied. I probably went an emo phase, like, you know, a whole kind of whatever.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Right. So, but then my senior year came, and then your 10, 11, 12, I remember like you just loving the whole activities at school. I was part of a music team. I was part of the sports team. I pretty much spent 50% of my time during grade 10 and 11 outside of school, like either for competitions or events or whatever.
Definitely.
This is how it is. Is this how it is, right? But you said like you have enjoyed studying since way before when. But like, so let's talk about like education in the sense that what draws you to it, right? Because we both fell in love to it from very different angles, but what draws you to it? What was a moment? Okay, so that's like the second question. What was the moment when you able to recognize, yeah, this is it for you?
Oh, good question. I think the moment of clarity came to me when I realized that I have the power to influence young minds. And when I realized that responsibility, it kind of hit me that, oh my God, I am shaping someone's life in my hands, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, consequentially, that will shape the future, my future, everyone's future, you know, that shapes the community, like indirectly, right? But yeah, that was the moment where I was like, oh my God, my job, it's not just a job, you know, my job actually will, you know, alter the course of some of these kids' lives, and like maybe all of them, you know. I don't know. I will never know. We can never measure, right? That's the thing about teachers. We can never measure our influence. It's like it has no end, you know. Like it's a long game. I always tell my friends, teaching is a long game. You can't see results in 1 or 2 years. So, but realizing that and realizing how much influence I can have over someone's life without having to be a president or to be a minister or to be, you know, to be a CEO, you know, I felt like that was really rewarding. And like, and I felt like, you know what, you don't have to be, you know, famous or rich or, you know, to
whatever,
make real changes,
right?
Or whatever, right? To make, to be valuable to the community, to contribute to the society.
Yeah.
You just be present and, you know, be a teacher. Just be a teacher and you're literally changing the world.
Yeah.
One person at a time, you know. And as someone who always wished to change the world, that was like my childhood dream, you know, like let's make the world better, you know. I realized then and there that, you know, wow, I don't need to be big or be someone, you know, someone to change the world. I just need to be a teacher. And that's enough for me, you know. What's drawn me to it, you know.
I love it.
I bet you feel the same way. I mean, we're pretty similar in this case, right?
Yeah, 100%. Right? Yes.
Yeah.
So I can totally relate with everything that you just said. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I know.
That's awesome. Okay, so yeah, I agree with you 100% in terms of just having that responsibility that we are actually right. shaping their world. And I think, like, you know me enough to know that I could care less about their grades. As long as they can grow as a person, that's the entire goal and that's the entire win for me personally. Because I think, like, I come in with the mentality of a ministry, of like someone who has been in the youth ministry for some time.
Right.
So just to give a bit of background, prior to coming to Raffles, I was actually heavily involved in youth ministry in my church, right? Mm. And so I was already teaching at English First as a part-timer. Yeah. I was doing my own design and photography at the time as well. That's like ongoing to a certain extent. And then I was approached by, I think it was Miss Anita who emailed me and mm-hmm. Offered me to do Christian worldview studies. That was the subject. That was the subject, right? So for me, I was like, okay, it's a part-time. I do need the cash. I do need a day job because I'm doing like it's a service sort of like industry, so I do need a day job and I do need a stable income, right? So part-time, mm-hmm. I'm down, let's do it. Had the meeting with Mr. Surya, Mr. Imbuth Singar, done with that, and then the next mm-hmm. day met with Miss Maureen, our principal mm-hmm. at the time. It already went well, it's already done. I was just waiting for Miss Anita to let me know the next process, the next step. Out of nowhere, I got an email saying, hey, we have another subject. And that's kind of like just snowballing the entire thing.
I know that story.
It's the craziest thing because for me,
how do you feel about that though? Do you feel like that was like divine intervention? Or I still need to go back to being a CWS?
I would say it the subject never mattered.
Okay.
Because I could literally teach anything, right? As long as they give me the materials, I can study it and I can break it down to the chunks mm-hmm. and then give it to the students, and that's it, right? So the subject never was the main thing. Right. But it's kind of like
same with me.
Right? I think right. like so my thought process was at the time, I didn't look for it. I tried to back out. I'm pretty sure I told you this as well. I tried to back out. I honestly told.
Oh, I didn't know this. I didn't know you tried to back out.
Okay, no, for real. It's like, so when Miss Anita called me and it was on a Thursday and then she wanted mm-hmm. to have a meeting on a Friday. And I was like, mm-hmm. I'm down. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. I went to the office, sat down with Miss Maureen in her office and then with Miss Anita as well. So the three of us, and they offered me that. And I was flat out just told them, I have no clue what you're talking about. I don't know the syllabus. I do not know the curriculum. I don't know how to teach this. Okay. You guys do have to understand that. My CV is graphic design. Okay.
All right.
It's a graphic design. So this is my CV. I've been teaching English. I've been using English, sure. But I don't know Cambridge. And they're like, oh, you'll do fine. I'm like, no, you're crazy. No, that doesn't work that way. Hello? And I barely have a year into English First.
Your EF. Yeah.
Right? True. I don't even have a year in. I was like 9 months something. And they're like, oh, you'll be fine. I'm like, no. I stuttered. I tried to kind of like slowly back out and whatever. Ms. Maureen just flat out, she just would not take no for an answer. And yeah, after that, she basically gave me, you give me until Monday to let me know your answer. And I was like, dang. So that
but
was
you accepted it.
I accepted it. After I left the meeting, so I called a friend. Talked mm-hmm. to my friend and then everything. So my thought process was, I didn't look for it. I tried to back out, but they still exist. I was not equipped. I was not trained, but they still want
totally
me.
Understand.
So for me, there's got to be a reason for me to be here, right? So
exactly, man.
So that's kind of like how I got into it. from the mentality mm-hmm. of this is not a job, but this is a calling per se. I didn't know what it would look like to begin with. But mm-hmm. as I got in, even the way that I approach students were very different, and all teachers were like looking like, what the hell is this guy doing? And I'll be like, I don't know. Like I'm just gonna rock with it. And they never gave me any problems. So I thought, you know what? No one said anything. I guess they're okay. So
that's the great thing about teaching in Raffles as well, because I think they give you the full autonomy to do what you want in the classroom, yeah. which something I really appreciate.
Like, yeah, true. Definitely. True. Because like that allows me to kind of like just build my own rapport with the students builds my identity in school as well as a person, as a teacher. So like if they know if I'm mad, they know if I'm joking around, right? So if I'm already in my not so happy mood, and they're like, okay, yeah. Right? So it kind of like builds that way. But like again, like what I said, like, you know, getting into with the ministry approach really allows me to just see them individually as a person, not as a student body, right?
Right. So right.
That kind of like for me, with what you're saying, how we're building their, we're kind of like changing their world. That's sort of like what I think, like what the both of us have been doing since our day one in Raffles as well. What we've been teaching, what we've been doing, and all those things. So. Obviously, there are some wins, there are some losses as well, and all those things. But I do relate to what you just said about we don't need to be anything, really. We don't need to be kind of like a big person or whatever, but we're big in their world, right? I think that's sort of like what I learn and what I get to see as well, is that we're big in their world. And because we have, in some ways, changed their lives, right? So for me, that's the awesome part. That's the awesome part. And I do agree. That's when it clicked in me as well. This is what I gotta do. And then, you know, the whole studying, like, yeah, I gotta study to be a better teacher for my students and all those things. I kinda like
well, that's just something that you gotta do.
Exactly.
You gotta do what you gotta do, you know? Exactly, Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So like that for me comes because like I want to be a better student for my, I want to be a better teacher for my student. Then dealing with that, that's completely fine, right? But it wasn't planned for this and all of those things, right? But like I like what you said, and this is kind of like just like a segue to the next part, and what you said about your childhood dream was to change the world, right? And I'm
very
pretty
naively.
Sure. Yeah,
very
but I'm pretty naively. Sure. I'm pretty sure that's something that you still want to do. That's still that you're still passionate about, at least in some ways that you can do to be a part of, right? What about like just like talk about that a bit in terms of your role as a teacher and what you mentioned about you are changing, you're changing the students' world in a sense, and then kind of like from them. By proxy, they change the world through what you can impart to them, right? So like talk about your role as a teacher, and has there ever been a kind of like a story where your students just approach you and be like, hey, thank you so much for just whatever, right? And then they kind of like appreciating you on that, right? Has there ever been a moment where a student just verbally expressed their gratitude to you?
Well, yeah, I think in a teacher-student capacity, I've been very blessed to have many of those, right? Yeah. You as well. But I don't think it's just the one story that makes me realize it, but I feel like, you know, when I was teaching a class or when I was like advising my kids to like, hey, like they would ask questions like, how do you know what you want to be? Like, you know, what, like a simple, from, it starts usually from a simple question like, what course should I take in university? Or like, should I even go to university? Right.
Okay.
From those conversations, I can just see how like my opinion and my experience, life experience, like, is already imparted to their mindset, you know?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
which is crazy when you think about it, because, oh my God, this kid is listening to me. You know, like, you know, I have a lot of that moments of reckoning where I'm like, my goodness, someone else is listening to my advice and making decisions based on my advice.
Yeah.
That is insane. Do you know how much power that has?
Oh, yeah.
Over someone's life. And I just, it's, I can't just tell one story. I feel like, because many of those happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Multiple of those moments of reckoning happens in my life. And that's where I just, it accumulates, and it just made me realize, like, oh my God, like, I have a lot of responsibility on my shoulder, and what I say and my advice really matters.
Yeah.
And I also want to bring a point. I think in one of your questions, the prompts that you gave me, you said, like, how education should be like. Like, I just want to bring it to that, because, but I can't speak about education in general, because I believe, I don't think I'm qualified enough to say a lot of, to say my point of view about what education should be. I'm still have a lot of learning to do.
Yeah.
But at least in my world, in our world, where we teach, like, privileged kids, you know, the kids who are sons and daughters of powerful people, that brings even more responsibility to us. Mm-hmm. Because when they ask us these questions about, like, what should I be, what university course should I take, which country should I go to, you know, or, like, just what kind of person they want to be, you know, it's like, because these kids are eventually going to be people of influence in our community, in our society, you know, the values that we impart to them in the classroom, or just based on our interaction, you know, day-to-day interaction, what we post on social media, for goodness sake. And, like, you know,
That's a whole different conversation.
It will transform. They will absorb it subconsciously.
Yeah.
And they will carry it into adulthood, and they will make decisions.
Yeah.
Partly because of our influence.
Yeah.
And I can say this because I was very, like, I think I also want to address the fact that maybe you didn't enjoy school because you didn't have great teachers. But to me, I was so lucky, like, throughout my secondary school life, I had, like, the best teachers anyone could have ever asked for. Mm. And, like, I was so blessed in that sense, because their influence is still with me until today, you know, like, yes, like, I watch Elon Musk and blah, 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 like, they're great. But, like, these teachers who were in, like, primary school and middle school and high school, they still left a deep impression.
Yeah.
In me, you know, because I was just so lucky of getting a series of fantastic teachers, even all the way to uni. So it's like, and I realized that, oh my God, I can be that person to someone else now.
Yeah.
I can be that figure to someone else who I will probably stay in someone's life.
Yeah, for sure.
Because of this job, you know, forever. And Yeah, did I answer your question? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you kind of answered it, but you brought up the prompt, and then we kind of, like, let's go to that one then, because like, based on what you just expressed and explained, let's talk about education and what we believe in. Like, what do you believe regarding education and what it's supposed to look like, and, like, the essence of it?
Again, I'm gonna speak.
From your part, like, from what you believe.
Yeah, in my world, right?
Yeah,
in my world.
So it's kind of like
your
education,
right?
So it doesn't have to be the same for anyone else. Right. It's just because, like, I think, like, we can both, I can speak for the both of us in terms of, we are not, like, you know, old traditional teachers. We sometimes break a lot of barriers. Let's just be real.
Exactly.
But it's because we believe in certain things, like, in a very specific thing, even when it comes to education, right? So what about you? Like, what's your creed?
My creed, okay, again, just to set the record straight, my teaching philosophy is based on teaching privileged kids, right?
Yeah.
kids from wealthy family who has influence over the community. And I feel like with that, my creed for education should be, or is, how do I, at least in my philosophy, how do I make sure that these kids enter society knowing what they can contribute to it, right? Okay. So yeah. That is like, that has been my silver lining in every kind of teaching approach yeah. I do, because like, they don't need a degree. Come on, let's be real. Yeah. Not all of them need a degree to yep. be successful, mm-hmm. you know? They don't need to jump the social mobility, you know? Mm-hmm. That's not their goal, you know, in getting education, you know? Like, education is not a place where they can make their lives better, unlike yeah. most people in Indonesia, yep. Yep. right? Their lives is already fantastic.
Exactly.
So if you look at that Maslow hierarchy of needs, they're like almost at the peak where, you know, like the peak, I think it's called enlightenment, you know? And
yeah.
I feel like that's my job. My job is to make sure they reach that enlightenment in a sense that, okay, I'm not studying to make my life better, but I'm studying to make others' lives better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because yeah. what else is there? There's nothing else on top of your Maslow's hierarchy. You're at the top of the pyramid. You know, yeah. where else do you want to go? Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like, I feel like I have that sense of purpose in a sense where, okay, you are my kids, you're privileged, you're at the top of the pyramid. So what can you do to lift people, right? To flatten the pyramid.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my personal philosophy. Okay. So it's like, so basically, if I can summarize that, it's like, okay, how can I direct you so you will choose a path in your life where at the end of it, when you enter society, you will be a valuable member of yeah. society
yeah.
that can influence and make others' lives better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I love it. I love yeah. it. Because like, I think yeah. like for me, and what I love about that is because then we're teaching them to, well, one, appreciate their privilegedness, and then two,
right.
use it, right?
But yeah, and understand it's a responsibility.
Exactly. So you kind of like yeah. you appreciate it, and you see that as part of what you are born with. There's nothing wrong with it. Let's just yeah. you know, lay it out first. There's nothing wrong.
There's
with
nothing
it.
Wrong with it. And if no anything, you are born with superpowers.
Exactly.
You know?
So,
and like, what are you gonna do with it? Yeah.
Exactly. So no one should make you feel bad about it, because
yep.
it's not your fault. You're born nope. with it, and that's something nope. that you have, and that's completely fine, right?
Yes.
And two, to use it, right? You kind of like understand. You're born with it, and you have to use it not just for yourself, but also yeah. for others. Because again, I think it has to be both ways, that you enjoy what you have, but also to share it with other people, right? Because again, if we keep on sharing yeah. and we don't use it, then it's sometimes we get to a miserable point, and then that's kind of like it's
yeah.
a boring point.
And it's not just about sharing. And I think they have the power more than just sharing. I feel like when they grow up and enter society, they have the power to create structures.
Yeah. To uplift the community.
To uplift,
around. Yeah.
Not just about giving direct
yeah, of course.
Cash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Of
but
course.
It's about sharing and again, flattening the pyramid, you know, yeah. like, you know, giving opportunities to other people,
yeah.
which is what most of these kids will do. Even yeah. though they don't
in
mean to do
ways.
It,
yeah.
but because of their status right now, that's what they're going to do. That's like somewhere in their path.
Yeah,
so,
that's kind of like an automatic thing.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly, exactly.
So yes. for me, like, because like for me, again, with you, your entire kind of like focus is about getting them to open their perspective towards other people and what they can contribute and bring value to.
Right.
For me, it's always been what they can find in themselves that in turn they can pour out to others, right? So I think
our
end goal will be the same, but my focus is to kind of like, before we
right.
can even point them to other people, it has to start with understanding themselves first, understanding
yeah they
where
get
they
to choose
are.
Which direction they want to go.
Yeah,
they so should be.
Yeah, not even that.
And their privilege allows them to do that. You
yeah,
know
exactly,
what I mean?
Because they don't have
don't
to struggle.
Waste it. Don't waste it.
Yeah,
exactly. Don't waste it.
They don't have to
don't
struggle
waste
with
doing
it.
Things you don't want to do, you know?
Right? Yeah. So for me, exactly. Like my entire education creed or what I believe in with education is really not about the syllabus and the curriculums. Those are just tools for me. Those are just tools for me to have the conversation, to show them. Because so basically, it's really more about if I can't find a way to make what I'm teaching relatable or applicable to real life, I'm not teaching it. So there's a lot of syllabus and there's a lot of curriculums in, you know, in whatever that I just skip the entire thing. Because if I can't teach you or make it relevant, let's say, for example, English skills, right? How do you make it relevant? Then look at the things that we have in the world right now, the articles, the podcast, or whatever. If you if I'm not teaching you how to use the skill in those scenarios, then what am I doing, right? So so that's kind of like how I approach it. But really, it's to kind of like give the students the understanding that you have to be able to learn to appreciate you before you can appreciate other people. And I'm not talking about self. I'm not talking about like, you know, like the whole narcissistic, self-loving, to the extreme extent. It's more about appreciating you, both your strength and your weaknesses, right? Because then you will have the same capacity to appreciate other people's strength and weaknesses, right? It's not just about, oh, that person is cool, I'm gonna hang out with the person. No, like it's not that, right? Because from there, I believe that they will be able to make the change, just like what we're doing right now in a very small capacity, like where as we are teachers, we don't have to do like a big thing, right? But because we're giving them just a bit more room and appreciate them when they're when they fail, when they mess up, when they you know do a lot of whatever, and then they kind of like understand that, feel that now they're able to also do that to other people, right? That's how I feel like they can change the community for the better, like
it's
from
awesome,
inward to kind of like and then the output would be then if they're a boss, if they are business owners, if they are whoever influential people that they probably will be in the future, then they understand that just because the person under me fail, that means that person is worthless. So it's kind of like that kind of output, because education for me really is more about changing the mindset of people rather than filling their mind with theories and whatever. Like if they have A stars but they are a complete, you know, horrible person, then right, what kind of change?
It's dangerous.
Exactly,
that person is a danger to society,
right? So you're a horrible person that has power, that has influence, that has resources, and you are, and then what are you going to do, right? So
right, and that's what also when I realized that it's kind of scary to be a teacher, because one, if you don't impart your values properly, you know, even though it's not all on your hands, it's on the parents as well, like but in some capacity, you know, like we do have a role in imparting some values to the kids. And it scares me sometimes when I see kids with like brilliant mind but zero values.
And
then they're graduating and then I'll be like, oh man, what have we just done, you know, like we let him go or we let her go into society, you know, it's like, and we're just praying that university but again, I felt that burden sometimes, like, oh my god, you know, did we do our job right? Did we do him justice, you know, by coming to our school? And
I think like there are a lot of moments where I feel like I failed, right? And all I can do is just to just pray that whatever that I can't deal with, that, you know, somehow some way in life that student will just you know, learn and grow in their own way. And so
yeah, and hopefully we planted the seeds. It might not have grown during our time when we are teaching.
That's completely fine. Yes.
One day I hope that seed will just sprout and, like, you know,
For
bear
real.
Fruits in its
for
time,
real.
You know?
Yeah.
We can only pray.
So with that though, like what do you think about our education system now, like specifically in Indonesia? Like, what do you think? What's your thought on that?
It's tough, man. It's such a huge country. If you're talking about system as a whole.
Yeah.
And I think it's crazy how the government is trying to do a one-size-fits-all kind of curriculum. But I also understand a differentiated curriculum opens another whole can of worms that I don't think our society is ready to face yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I think with the new minister, hopefully, and I've been following some of the people in the ministry as well, and I feel like there's hope.
Okay.
Right? I feel like there's hope, even though we are now stuck in this fixed kind of curriculum, you know, exam oriented instead of knowledge, a very knowledge oriented kind of education where us in the international school world, we're already trying to move away from that, and we're trying to move to a skill-based, you know, critical thinkers kind of generation. But I think as a country and the national level, we are still stuck in the knowledge-based era, knowledge-driven, content-driven, you know.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say it's a bad thing. We're kind of behind. We're just, I think, we're just behind, right? And but I think we're with the cancellation of Ujian Nasional, I think that's a step in the right direction, I feel.
Okay.
Reducing pressure on teachers. But I think I don't know, in my point of view, I feel like if only the ministry, I feel like a lot of people are so focused on building schools.
Yeah,
everywhere, like everyone, oh, let's just build school. I feel like that's a miss. That's a bit a miss, because I feel like what they need to invest in is teachers.
Yeah.
You don't need a school building to have a school, you know?
Yeah.
You can have a school at Kantor Camat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you can't have a school
without teachers. Yeah.
Right? So I feel like if the focus is more towards teaching rather than school building, you know, I feel like that will have been an investment
like in the long run,
effectively,
right? Yeah.
I feel like in the short run as well, you know.
Okay.
I feel like in the short run as well, if you just invest in teachers, right, and not so much focus on the school building per se, you know, and be able to be more resourceful with the venue of teaching, I think more kids could learn better, right?
Okay.
More kids will get access
to
education.
Yeah, agree.
I feel like it's the lack of teachers, not the lack of school building. I feel, if you want my comment on that, yeah.
I agree with what you said about focusing on the teachers instead of the buildings and the programs, the curriculums and all those things. Sure.
Right.
But so I remember someone told me that the reason why the sinetron worked and then some of the movies worked, it's not because the lack of creativity, but it's more the understanding of the audience. Because at the end of the day, the target market, the target audience of those movies and of those you know, series, TV series from Indonesia, it works, because for the target market, that's the level that they can understand and appreciate the jokes, appreciate the drama, and all those things. For us, for me personally, I can't say about you, but like for me personally, I hate it. Like, I mean, like, are you like, it drives me mad sometimes. I'm like, really? But then I can, like, once, like when that person told me that in a perspective, I kind of like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Right. I think that also applies in some ways to some degree pertaining to education, right? So unfortunately, right. at this point, if we, let's say, if we increase or change the curriculums, can, you know, the students keep up? Can the teachers keep up, right? Right now, we're pushing for the online right. teaching. It does, like, not a lot of schools can keep up, right? There's I have a relative that told me that their children's school broke a few regulations, and they forced to have an in-school, in-person kind of like school because they just can't cope with the online. They just don't have any other way, right?
I can imagine, yeah.
Exactly. So that's like one school, and I believe there are multiple schools that are doing that because they just can't cope with it. So I think, like, with the whole, what you said about, you know, when it comes to the system itself, it kind of worked because that's where we are. Unfortunately,
yeah.
that's still where we yeah. are, right? Yeah. And hopefully with the whole steps that they're taking, we're kind of like moving away from it, you know, no matter how slow right. it is. But as long as we're moving, I think that's a win. Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly my point of view. I think as long as we're trying to break the status quo, as long as we're trying to break barriers, I think we're in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of like already a win. Because, like, for me, when it comes to the education of Indonesia, there are still way too many older generations who are in control, unfortunately, that are hesitant or even unwilling to learn and adapt.
And I feel like because they don't understand education.
So I do believe that it's really also partly because we still have a lot of older generations, right? So that's not willing to learn or to learn what has changed. What's a new way of teaching? What's a new way of approaching this right now? Who are probably hesitant in adapting in a new way because, again, they don't understand it, like you said before, like they don't understand it.
Right.
They don't really even know what education is about and all those things. And right. to have those people still in power and have a say to the entire landscape of our education system is hard. When people right. want to make a change, they will probably say a lot of things about it, right? So I feel in that sense, like when it comes to like our education system, there has to be an internal change in their management so that the transition can be smoother, perhaps. But then again, any small steps is a big win. Especially when it comes to completely a country agree. Size kind of like management.
Exactly, right? I was just about to say, like, changing the education system is like, you know, changing the direction of a freaking mega yacht. You
exactly.
know, it's like
it's
you don't take
easy.
1-2 years. It's going to take 10, 20, 30 years
yes.
to finally see some fruits
exactly
bearing in it, you know? So,
but
to bring another point to your argument earlier, I also feel like a lot of people who try to fix education never study education, you know, which is extremely frustrating because they feel like, oh, I think we should do that. Oh, I think we should do this, you know. But I feel like if there are just more people who are legitimately, you know, like well educated in education,
yeah,
like to have more of those people on board in the ministry or you know, and have influence over people, and I think it would have been done much better. I feel like a lot of people are trying to pump a lot of money into what they think is education, but so much more than that, you know. Education is so much
for
more
real.
Than YouTube videos. It's so much more than, you know, like,
oh my gosh,
interactive videos. It's so much more than that. It's so deep, you know. It's such a feel. It's an art, right? Education is almost an art, you know, in a sense, you know.
Exactly.
Teaching is an art, you know. Teaching is not a skill. I feel teaching is borderline an art, more yeah. More of an art than a skill to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, and it just frustrates me when I see people on TV trying to say like, oh, this is how education it should be, but they've never even
yeah, like
thought are, for a exactly. single day in their life or educate a youngster. You know, it's like. Yeah. Geez, shut up, you know, like I just want to say that sometimes.
Oh yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that frustration and yeah.
Yeah,
for me,
yeah.
When you said like I love when you said about like how teaching is an art, because this is what people don't understand. We have yeah. come to a point in history where people are starting to be a person. Figure that, right? Even children are now person. They're not tiny exactly. little robots exactly. that you can yell at and tell them what to yeah. do based on what you want. Yeah. Okay, so for me, because and still I feel like, and this is what I can see, there are still a lot of teachers who fail to see that it's not just about your education theory or your teaching theory that you have to learn. You also have to learn right. about people. You have to yeah. learn about your people skill. You have to learn about your communication yeah. skill. Right?
Child psychology is huge.
Exactly, because
it's like 70% of our teacher training.
Exactly,
know,
right? And people are still like, a lot of teachers are still stuck with, I'm the teacher, you're the students, you listen, I deliver. That's it, right? You follow right. and I'll just lead. So there's still a right. lot of teachers that are that way. And especially in the whole, you know, the national system that we have, it's right. they still have that kind of mindset. What about the other non-teachers who
exactly
view,
that's
right?
exactly my point, man.
So exactly.
exactly my point.
And people don't get that when yep. we teach, the first battle is to get their attention and get their trust. And it's yep. not by showing your credibility, it's not showing how smart
no.
you are, it's just showing that you're human and you're there to teach and you're there to love and you're there to guide. Period.
Right, right. The first step is to make them feel safe. That's yeah. if you don't get that laid
yeah.
down.
Exactly.
You can't teach 100 things. None of it will yeah. enter their brain.
But
so
if you can start with that and they get it. Whatever that you teach, they will wholeheartedly just like try to grasp it, and they will feel bad for disappointing us when we're like, no, I'm not disappointed. Wait, what are you talking about? Right. So
right.
it's that kind of like thing that I feel like when you said like it's an art, it's true, because it's not just
it
about teaching. It's really about learning people.
Yeah,
and
it's
learning.
Not content dumping. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
content dumping. It's yeah. way it's content dumping is like
you
the
can
first
only
layer of the cake. You
yeah,
know?
you can dump it if you can already reach into them first, right? If
exactly,
you can
exactly
if you can already reach their heart, right? If you can already like touch their heart, grab their attention, and that mutual respect already built, whatever content
then,
that you want
then
to
you,
dump,
then you dump.
Yeah, that works yeah. right. So it's yeah. that kind of thing, because like again, like I think I want to bring up a point that you brought up about me not enjoying school because of my teachers. Well, guess what, I had a teacher who basically scored us using a ruler, so we would get
Sorry,
a
man.
Perfect score if the ruler reaches the bottom line. If it's only
what
short
heck?
If it's short, just a paragraph, even if it's correct, it will still get a very low score. So
That's
we
hilarious.
learn to recycle our topic sentence in three different ways, in three different sets of paraphrases, in one paragraph, for one answer, for one question. And we do the same for the other ones. So yeah, it's the craziest thing. But that's kind of like, that's not even like that's a private school, by the way. Like, that's a private school.
Right.
I can't
right,
imagine
right.
like, you know,
yeah, exactly.
The government school, right? So I have one other teacher. He teaches basically part time in our school and then part time in a government school, right?
Mm.
And I kid you not, we used to sheet our head off with that teacher by using this trick. And I'm telling you, this is a true story. So in the past, we have a newspaper called Lampu Merah, red light.
Right. I remember that.
Right. So the content is very red light. So we would put that on the table. He would just open that newspaper flat out, covering his face, and enjoy the entire thing. What do you think that we would do? Like, it's a party. Honestly, we would just like take out the book. We would just copy from the book, answer exams, assessment, whatever, and that's it, right? And he apparently is doing the same thing with the government school. So apparently, we heard he actually stepped out of the classroom during an exam and smoked. He was smoking outside of the class during an exam, and we were like, "Oh my god! All right, cool. Now we know." So that's one I can't say for any other teachers. That's the one that I know that I you know grew up, you know, seeing and whatever. But it's crazy how like being a teacher is in a way, one, it's kind of like people underestimate the job. Like people underestimate the whole dedication to it. Right.
Hugely, my goodness. You know, I had a friend who told me, "Oh, you're a teacher now? Oh, that's so easy." And I'm like, "Oh, God, hold my heart."
wait, grab me right now before
grab
I punch
me
up
right now. But they just, I can't blame that person, but it just shows like what our reputation
exactly impression. Because I think also because people have seen those kind of teachers as well, the ones that I mentioned before, right?
So
again, we kind of like, we're pretty much in our line of work, especially for us who are doing it for reals. Like, you know, I'm not saying that other teachers are not doing it for reals. I think like they are in their own way, but for us who like
who
our focus
approach.
We approach the whole education in terms of like focusing on what we can build the students with and from, right? Instead of like just focusing on the curriculums and then teaching them to be this smart, kind of like intelligent students, which is great, by the way. We do need those teachers as well. But again, I think the whole kind of like swimming upstream with the whole people's opinion. People's kind of like point of view when it comes to education and teachers and all those things. Because, well, if people appreciate our line of work, we wouldn't be in this spot. Let's just be real.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And that's also one of my missions with teaching as well. And I also want to show people that, you know, you can be highly educated and be a teacher, and that's okay, you know, and it's as prestigious as going to my university, you know. Like people are always saying, like, you know, I went to NTU in Singapore, which is quite prestigious, and then my friends would ask me like, why are you a teacher, you know, such a waste of your degree. And I'm like, dude, it's the opposite, exactly, because I am so educated, I should be the one who give back.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
To society, you know. I mean, teaching is such an impactful and important work, as we have established earlier.
Yeah.
And why don't you want top of the top people to become teachers?
Yeah.
Right? Why don't you want that? Like, why do you look down on that?
Yeah.
Then you are part of the problem, you know? Then you are part of the problem if you don't feel like a person who is so qualified because of my degree, whatever.
Yeah.
But has to stoop down to be a teacher. The fact that they had to look at it that way.
Yeah.
That they're also part of the problem. Like, I know I'm being quite harsh, but they're also part of the problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, we're not trying to be mean or anything, but it is a fact that it's a problem.
It's a fact.
Exactly. In a sense that it's a problem because we are, you know, dealing with people's opinion. And people's opinion has an effect towards you know, how much people actually put the trust into this. That means then put more people right. or put more children into the thing, trusting right. us to it and not have a lot of whatever. Right. So it does have a ripple right. effect to it, right? So I do agree right. on that. I do kind of like want to bring up the one thing about that. So like, what's the prospect then for education? Do you think, what's the prospect? Like two ways to talk about this. Like one, what's the ideal kind of like pathway for education towards the future? And mm-hmm. two, like what can we do? Like, you know, like I know you're trying to educate your students, and then by proxy them changing the world in the future, and then also educate older, like, you know, your friends, parents, I'm sure, regarding education itself, and so they can have a proper or kind of like a better way of looking at education. So that's kind of like what you're doing. But like in terms of like just where we are now, right, and towards kind of like the education that we believe should look like, right? What can we, like, what are the things that we should focus on, right? If there's one thing that we should focus on, right? So again, the first one would be like, what's the ideal pathway towards education, you know, moving towards the future? And the second one would be, what's the one focus that you feel we should just, you know, put all of our resources, all of our mind to when it comes to where we are now and how do we build towards kind of like the education that we should have for this country?
Okay. I think I'm going to answer this in two parts. I feel like when I see education, I don't know, maybe because this is in my point of view, I could still be quite narrow-minded about this. But in my point of view, I think education should have kind of two sections, right?
Yeah.
The first one will be K-12, where we actually build kids to live in the society and to live in community, you know, focusing on them becoming a person more than a skilled person.
Yeah.
It's different, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have the adult learning, which is also an exciting field where everyone is doing like Skillshare, you know, things like Skillshare, Skill Academy, Khan Academy, Udemy, Coursera, whatever. I think that's an exciting field to be in as well. And I think that is the future is going to be. I don't think people are going to go to universities anymore, especially people who don't want to do academic stuff, like people who are not doing research or people who are not doing, in-depth studies of things.
Yeah.
But people who want to contribute as fast as they can to society will just go straight to this kind of, you know, skill-based kind of trainings or courses instead of going to university. I feel like a lot more, and that's great because that democratizes higher education.
Yeah, yeah.
And more people will have access to be skilled. More people will have access to, experts in the field, I feel like with things like Skillshare. I think that's fantastic. I think we should go there in the right direction. That's the right direction. I do feel in the higher ed world, in the adult learning world, universities will become a bit less relevant unless your passion is in academia or is in higher order.
Yeah, or any line of work that needs it, right?
Yeah. Like, you know, research.
Yeah, exactly. Be a doctor, engineering.
Law, yeah. Those professions, I think, except for those professions, I think other courses in universities will fade off.
Yeah.
And people will just go towards like straight to like Skillshare, Coursera and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I think that will happen in like 20, 30 years. I'm not saying
that's a near future. Not in an immediate future. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so that's how I kind of imagine education should be like, and I think will be like in the future.
Mm-hmm,
but for K-12, which a field that I'm really passionate in, I feel like this is my dream. I don't know if this is feasible. I don't know if this is relevant or even practical in the society. But I feel like education should focus more on problem solving because it is relevant to our times, right? With a lot of societal problems that we have. I'm not saying this problem solving approach will last forever, but at least in our lifetime, maybe the next 100 years, I would say.
It will be relevant, right?
It will be extremely relevant for schools to just focus on building problem solvers.
Yeah.
And it can start from like elementary school, you know, it starts from early years, like preschool. There are so many, like, and psychologists has done it for us, that breaks down these problem solving skills into different buildable scaffolded skills that can be taught as early as an infant, you know? So I think that's where education should go. And I think in the future, like maybe in 10, 20 years, if we are progressive enough, I think schools will no longer have subjects. We still have subject teachers, but the way we will learn will be thematic learning. Like, okay, like our problem now is we need to collect clean water. What subjects do we need to be able to solve this problem? Yeah. And then we will study that part of the subject to solve this problem, you know?
Okay. Yeah. That You know what's crazy? That is something that I thought of as well. I think it was last year or 2 years ago when it comes to like education. And it's so crazy that you brought that up, because that's like verbatim to, because again,
that's Finland is doing already. I think they're already trying that out. Yeah.
Right. So, because here's the thing though, And this is why I teach my students how to use the skills in a practical way. How do you apply it, right? And how to use it? Because again, like if we teach them a particular subject or even a topic in the subject, right, and they don't have any use of it or don't have any idea of how to use it in real world, why do we teach it? Right? So I understand the need of giving the theory behind a certain topic or a certain subject. I agree that we should have it. But if we're teaching it just so that it fits a curriculum, I think we're missing the point. Right? But like you said,
I can't blame the curriculum completely, because these curriculums, like if you read their marketing stuff, you know, their goal is to put these kids in universities.
Yes, exactly. No, that's the thing though. So that's
to
why
to me, the bad actor in the education industry is universities.
Yes, because that's kind of
it's
like
not,
where
it's not Cambridge, it's not IB, because I mean they're all trying
to fit it. Yeah, they're trying to fit into,
they're just trying to follow the stream, but that stream ends in university, man.
Yeah.
If university is not willing to change the way they accept students,
it will still be the same.
It will be the same. We are at the, you know, we're at the end of the stream. We are just molding our way just because our end goal is university, right? For schools, at least for schools like ours, right? Our end goal is they need to go to university and a prestigious one.
Yeah.
If they don't change that goalpost, we will, no matter still what go we try there. To do in K-12, go there. No matter what we try to do in K-12, it will end up going there. It will end up funneling into that exam-minded.
Yeah.
Because that's what they need to go to university. You know,
that's the requirement.
As much as we don't like it.
Yeah, that's a requirement. That's what they need. Yeah, I do. Because then, what you said about the future can and should look like in terms of university would be less and less relevant. I think that will kind of like show itself the importance of the K-12, right? Because I really do believe that the K-12 is the formative period in education.
Absolutely.
University, it's really more about like if you're not in the profession where you do need to hone your skills, engineering, meds, all like law. If you're not in university to hone your skills, then you will only probably network. That's it.
Exactly.
Right.
You go to universities to network. That's what I tell my kids. You meet people in universities. You don't have to worry about studying. Just meet people, grab opportunities, meet experts.
Exactly.
That's where you meet them.
And if you look at, if we look at the entire landscape of like social construct and social dynamics right now with social media, with whatever, networking is so much easier now than ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And that also pushes people to connect with a lot of other people and build something, even without having to go to universities to network.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. Definitely. So possibly. Yeah, I do see, but like, yeah, I'm just super excited when you said about like, you know, being, you know, build a school that's thematic and problem solving and all those things. So for me, it was exactly. Like, yes, I 100%.
Even universities are doing that actually, but then their admission scheme doesn't reflect that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all about the admission scheme, man. If they can just change that into a portfolio-based admission, or like, you know, just testimonies from teachers, or like, you know, like the other sort of evidence,
yeah,
I feel like that could change the whole world of K-12, honestly.
Yeah, because look, like, there's nothing wrong with assessing the student's knowledge based on universities.
But it can't be the only thing.
No. Well, I'm saying that I'm saying that you don't need the students to provide you with scores. You can construct and craft an assessment on your part, right? Based on based on the major that the students want to get in. And that should be enough.
Right.
Right.
But the thing is, how do we make sure it's standardized which is where standardized testing came about, right? Because they want something that's easy to measure.
That's the kind of like the problem then, right? So for me, the standardized testing is an outdated kind of, you know, whatever, right?
I think everyone agrees at this point, yeah.
All right. And so I do agree that the university should change the way that it approaches. Because like, again, if that's the case, we're basically running in a loophole. We're just running around.
That's exactly what I'm saying. We're stuck in this vicious cycle of like, yeah, we want education to change for K-12. We want them to be more, you know, critical.
But we'll always be restricted with what universities.
But the finish line is still university. For a school like ours. Yeah, not for every school. I can't speak for every school. But for a school like ours, in the end, our end goal is university. And exams. So what can we do? Right? Yeah. It's like the ball game, the goalpost is still your exam score. So it's frustrating, honestly. But I think this is where the way you teach really comes in, because I hope our part in K-12 is, I feel like we should empower students to think that, hey, university is not the only pathway for me.
Yeah.
Right? University, if I don't want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or engineer, I don't have to go to university, and I should be valued equally as those people who went to university, who go to university, because that's another can of worms, right? People who go to university are valued in society more than people who doesn't go to university.
Yeah. With that, like, I kind of like my thought on that would be like, it's not just the students, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Parents I love our parents, no matter how hardcore they are. I love them, but they can have such an idea of like, if my children don't have a degree, then they
can't get a job.
Yeah, they fail, they whatever, dumb, all whatever, right? So, and then the point that you brought up, the society is, you know, the parents is based on the society. The society is based
it's
on...
It's already conditioned.
Yeah, you know, it's a home. Yeah, it's a whole kind of thing.
It's
so,
a whole, yeah. Yeah. It's a whole other podcast, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah, hell yeah. So, but honestly though, like, and this is something that I kind of like, for those kind of parents who are still stuck with that kind of mindset, and then the kind of like it's their call, it's their decision, and that's completely fine. For me, then is to talk to the students and to the children that this is something that you have to believe in, and you can impart to your children to your next generation.
Someone has to break the cycle, basically.
right? So, so for parents who kind of like I know are adamant and being stuck there, like I just can't get through you. That's completely fine. I respect your decision.
But I'll think they do that out of fear, you know? They do it out of fear.
Because it's society. Right?
Yeah, I agree. It's a cycle, man. It's a cycle.
I agree. Because then, again, this is, I'm just going to bring this up. This is not to say that the parents do not love their children, even if they're forcing
of
it,
course,
right?
Of course.
I think it's because they love their children, they are afraid for them.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And that's why they're
forcing them. But again, it's out of fear, man. It's not healthy. Anything that's out of fear is not healthy.
Yep. 100%.
It's
kind of like crazy because the students' parents, they're kind of like in this weird generation stuck between the boomers and the millennials, so to speak.
Right.
So it's kind of like.
Yeah, they're in that very weird Gen Y.
Right. So it's
Gen X. They're the Gen X.
Right. Yeah. And so
they're
that
the Gen X. Yeah.
The weirdest thing is that they were raised up by the boomers who are practically do as I say. Do as I say, not as I show, or something like that. Right. So basically, just do what I tell you to do. Shut up and follow. Right. And I will just work. Give you money, feed you, that's it, right? Kind of like that mentality. And then they see this transition towards this new way, and they're like, no, you know what? During my days and blah, 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 right? And then again, our hope It is hard for them. So our hope, again, is for the children to understand they can break it when it's their turn to be parents. So again, any small step is a big win, I think, in various aspects. And we do need all aspects to take a step, right?
Right.
For the universities, for the government programs, for the ministry, for, you know, students' mindset and all those things, teachers as well, teachers' quality, buildings. Because we're trying to raise a giant rock, a boulder, right? If one part is not lifting, then everyone
it's gonna topple.
Exactly. Yeah. So every single step matters in that sense. So
definitely. And that's why I was saying, like, with adult learning, I think it will be good for the kids in the future because they will have more pathways to success, to become like my philosophy earlier, like, I think my task is to make sure they will become valuable to society. Because once you are valuable to society, you will be paid. Because if there is work to be done and you are doing that work and are valued for that work, you will survive and thrive in society, right?
Yep.
It's just how do we make sure that they become valuable, and what are the pathways so they can become valuable in whatever, like what you said, like they need to search within themselves and decide, how am I going to become valuable to the people around me or my society?
Yeah. So that's something that
will value my work, you know? So because
that's something that kind of like I tell the students all the time, money will follow value.
Exactly.
But if you can't find your value, then you will always stuck chasing after value.
Yes, chasing after money, which is wrong.
And kind of like, so because you believe that, I have to chase after value first and then I can earn money, right? So I become this person, I become that person, I change this, I change that, I do this. It cannot be that. Like, if you have a value,
it's gonna be a tiring and empty life, you know?
Exactly. You're gonna be a hamster
and
running on
wheels. You can be hurting other people when you do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Because again, you're chasing the wrong things, right? So we have a long way in this whole education ride. But thank you much though for having
work,
this.
Bro. We're doing important work.
Oh yeah.
Definitely.
And hopefully we can have this more of this conversation because
we
discuss one particular kind of like linear topic, but as we found out, we have a lot of things that we can have another episode in the podcast.
We can have another episode.
Right.
talk more about loaded questions.
Oh, yeah.
And people. Let's do it. I can't wait. So,
thank you so much. But okay, so before we end, though, just one last thing. If there's one thing that you can just share with students, okay, just for students, right, who are probably struggling with identifying with what they're good at in terms of like what's next, right? What's next in terms of kind of like, I just don't know what I'm good at. I'm just following what I'm studying right now, right? What's kind of like, what is one message that you want to share with them for those students who are still stuck with the mindset of, I'm here only to study, only to get good grades, and that's it.
Okay. What would I say? It's okay to not know, I feel. And you don't have to decide your value now. Like, what matters is you are trying to find that value. Like, my value 5 years ago was I need to be an engineer and work in an engineering company that will help people make their lives easier. But then my values changed because I realized that's not for me. And then I tried other things, you know, that I thought I would never try, but I did. And then I figured out, okay, this is my place in society. This is how I can be valuable to other people. And therefore, they will value my work and I will get paid for it, you know, doing something that I feel like I need to do, which is like, that's the definition of success for me, right? And like, so my advice will be, it's okay to not know and just try everything that is presented in front of you and don't be scared to fail, especially at your age, especially at school. Just try everything. Meet a lot of people, try everything. And again, but again, at the core of that, like your mission should be, what is my value to the people around me right now, right?
Yeah.
That value might change over the years, but that's okay. As long as you know what your value is right now, the next door will open, you know, and then you realize, oh, this is my next value. This is what I'm supposed to do in this chapter of my life. And then another door will open and then you'll become another role in society and you'll be like, oh, okay, this is my value right now. And so don't be fixated that you need to be one thing forever.
Yeah.
You know, just make sure you are valuable right now to the people around you.
All right.
It doesn't have to be in school. Like if you're lost in school, you know what? It's fine. You know, just be valuable at home or in your other communities and in church. Church is a great place to find value as well. You know, I was brought up in church. So it's like, it's a huge part of my identity. And like, that's where I learned how to like, hey, how can I serve, right? Serving is such an important thing. So when I serve, I realize, oh, okay, I'm good in this and people value me for this. And this is how it feels like to be valued. And this is how I should feel like every stage of my life, you know? And exposing yourself to experiences, I think that's my number one advice.
Awesome. Awesome. So thank you so much, Hannah, for the time.
That was fun.
And more to come. So thank you so much for all of you who are listening from beginning until the end. Thank you for soldiering through. We will see you again in the next episode of Not Gonna Lie Podcast, talking about education. All right. See you guys next time.
Bye.